RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles. It was a long weekend of football watching since our beloved Buccaneers played on Thursday night. We didn't have that one Buccaneer game to watch on Sunday. Therefore, I really spread the wealth out, and I watched a whole lot of football this weekend. Whether it was college or NFL yesterday, I watched it all, okay? I watched all of it. Flipping and enjoying, okay? Our Buccaneers played on Thursday. I did a pregame show over there on 102.5 The Bone. And what I broke down, you've been usually right with the way the games have turned out. And I was actually right on this game on the result. I say I think it's going to be a close game, but I think that New England's going to win the game because they're New England. And that's what happened. But the rest of it I got wrong because, you know, I remember saying, you know, the Bucs have to play their best game to win that game. I don't think that was the case. New England's not that good. They're just not what they used to be. They don't have as many good football players. And if I'd be damned if they were beatable on Thursday night. They were so beatable, and they looked very average at a lot of different positions. And I haven't seen a Patriots team look like that in a while, but it's a shame because we let them go. We let them slide. And, you know, that was one of those games that can change your franchise. You know, we remember way back when Tony Dungy was here and the Bucs were trying to get over that hump. And, you know, they beat the crap out of San Francisco and Sapp tore up, Young and Jerry Rice's knees. That's kind of where we took the next step. And this could have been a step that we took forward. But now we're below 500. You know, we've really haven't really beaten anybody if you really think about it. And then you got to go to Arizona, who's not playing great football, but going on the road is hard to win. It's hard to win on the road. Long trip. There's a lot of different factors, but it's a shame. While they're honoring, they had the Ring of Honor honoring Malcolm Glazer going up in the ring, and it was a shame that they didn't figure out a way, you know, to win that game. And, you know, there were some people that played well. Some other people are consistent, but not consistently good enough, all right? There was a couple of names. Baker, defensive tackle. Time for me to hear your name. Like, literally. Haven't heard his name not one time this year make a play. And if he did, I don't remember it. Okay, he might have made one. I don't remember it. I don't remember him really making a tackle. And I don't know what money they gave him, but they gave him substantial money, and he was supposed to change the inside of this defensive line. And our defensive line looks about exactly like it's looked in the last 10 years, which is below average. You know, Gerald McCoy will make a play here and there, but that's not good enough. I think we got one sack, and it was really a coverage sack that Gerald McCoy fell into. Other than that, we pretty much let quarterbacks be comfortable. And Tom Brady's been getting his ass sacked a lot. I think they've given up maybe 13 sacks before that game, and then the Bucs figured out a way to get one sack. So there's a lot of things they need to improve at. I didn't think the play calling was all that great. The Bucs still haven't developed an identity. And I think the way Doug Martin was running, when he was running real hard, how long he'd be able to run that hard, I don't know. But his legs looked really, really fresh. And that's as good as I've seen Doug Martin run in a long time. Now, that's one game. Now do it again. All right? It still seems like Deshaun and Jameis are a little off. Jameis is a little off. He's a little bit off. You know, I could almost hear him thinking at times. Like, I don't think he's confused out there, but he's not completely comfortable. And, you know, if you look at his statistics, he really didn't statistically have a bad game. But I didn't think he played all that great. I mean, I'm hoping that he's raised the bar a lot higher than that, because I think he could be definitely better than that. Now, when you're playing Tom Brady on national TV, that's got to be enough inspiration. Brady didn't play all that well. And once again, we had him on the ropes with Tom Brady not playing all that well on a short week. Maybe that was a time, and unfortunately, we messed that up. Now, we're playing against a 40-year-old quarterback, and he tied Thursday Brett Favre and Manning for the most wins. He did it on national TV, which is wonderful. And when you look, you take it in perspective, he has 186 wins. Put it in perspective, you know, at the end of this, he might end up with over 200 wins. That's like almost 20 seasons of 10 wins. 20 seasons of 10. That's never going to be beaten. Not never. It's not going to happen. So, and Brady's still going. He's still going. It has to catch him, though. It always does. Age always catches you. And I know everybody's going to always says, well, he's going to play at least 45. That's disrespecting age, okay? Because age don't give a crap. We saw Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning got, you know, old overnight. And it's gonna, same thing's going to happen to Tom Brady. I know he's like a god and he's like Superman and all those kind of things, but he is still going to age like other people. And he's getting hit a whole lot. And that's not really conducive to finishing a season when you're 40 years old. Now, other things that happened last week were, you know, the Cam Newton fiasco out there. You know, when this is all said and done, to me, I would have known not to say it. I would have known not to say that to the reporter. I know better, because I know there's going to be backlash from people who are all about backlash. Some people, that's just what they do, backlash. And people are just so mad that he really was just being sarcastic. And the people that are mad, I don't know why you're mad. If you listen to the question that the young lady asked, she said, well, what do you think about Devin Funchess running physical routes? You know the first thing came to my mind? I've never heard that saying before. I've been around football my whole life, and I've never heard of a physical route. I'm not really. I've heard of physical wide receivers, but I'm not sure how you run a physical route. So it kind of was an odd, you know, saying to me. I don't know if it was that with Cam Newton. But, you know, it's different when you have a young lady trying to delve deep into running routes. I mean, it's weird, right? I mean, you just don't hear it a whole lot. So that's basically what he said. He said, it's weird. It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. I'm sure it's funny to hear a guy talk about makeup, okay? Some guys know about makeup. So should the guys that know about makeup be sensitive if somebody says it's weird to hear a guy talk about makeup? So I just think we're just so darn sensitive now that now he's a sexist pig, he's this, is that. People are asking for him to get suspended for saying something sarcastic in a press conference. You want to be suspended? It didn't hurt nobody. And I hope that the same people that wanted Cam Newton suspended wanted Chris Forster suspended. Now, if you got a chance to see that story, this hits very, very close to home for me, because for people that know me, I'm a pretty lovable guy. I get along with a lot of people. I don't have a lot of enemies. I really don't, not that I know of anyways. But Chris Forster to me was one of my enemies, okay? One of few. I can't name four others, maybe two others, and they know who they are. But Chris Forster was my offensive line coach when I was here in the Buccaneers in my last year here. So I was here 6 years before him. And when he got here with Tony Dungy, he was my line coach for 1 year. He's the worst coach I've ever been around. He never taught anybody anything. And you could ask some other guys I played with. I've talked to them about it, and they agree with me. He never taught anybody anything. He never had any kind of relationship with any of his players. He just was all about himself, and there was something creepy about him. From what I've heard, he drove up really big bills watching porn at the complex. And this is what's weird for me, because as straight and narrow as Tony Dungy is, I would think that if somebody on your staff was watching that much porn, then it would be an issue. So supposedly he's at the complex. Now, as an offensive line coach, you shouldn't have enough time to watch porn. Okay, there's other things you should be doing, like blocking schemes and stuff like that. So he's driving up money at the complex for porn. And as a coach himself, he was god-awful. He would come in and he would say, okay, this is how we're going to block Nickel this week. And I always believed, but I was a student of the game. And I would watch it. I would look at it. And so he's explaining this new blocking scheme. And I would say, well, that's not going to work, coach. And he goes, why? And I go up there and I write a different defense. And I go, what if they do this? And he was like, and he didn't have an answer. Okay, so if you don't have an answer, then the scheme doesn't work. And then his answer was, well, I'll give you an answer at lunch. There's only one problem. When you're on a football field, you don't have that much time to go back and ask people questions. So his system didn't work. So he didn't like me challenging him like that. He felt like I was challenging his manhood when I just want to know what the hell I'm doing. So me and him didn't have the best relationship in the world. At the end, when I was here, at the end of the year, I was a free agent. From what I hear from my agent, I went to the complex. I saw Chris Forster. He was like, I'm out here fighting for you. I'm dying to get you back. Hope we re-sign you. I'm like, great, coach. I appreciate your help. All right? Then I'm driving away from the complex. My agent calls me, and he says, well, I just talked to the Bucks. He goes, Tony Dungy wants you back. He goes, Coach Shula wants you back, who was the offensive coordinator. He goes, but your offensive line coach is kicking and screaming that he doesn't want you back. Okay, so if your offensive line coach doesn't want you back, you're probably not going to come back. So that's how my Buccaneer career ended. That's why I hate the guy. I think anybody out there that was a story, you would hate him too. I mean, I played my whole career here for 7 years. I wanted to end my career here, and I had to go to Philadelphia. I didn't want to go to Philadelphia. I wanted to stay here for the rest of my career. This is my home. That's Tampa's where I stay. And I hadn't talked to him since then. One time I saw him was at Paul Gruber's retirement, and it was in a locker room, and I was there, and I saw him at the other end of the room. And he was walking to go out the door, and he looked up and saw me, stopped in his tracks, and backtracked and walked around the other way to go out the door and didn't say hi to me. So I'm a player that I played for him for a whole year, and he didn't say hi to me. Isn't that telling on yourself? That's, to me, that's telling on you. Any coach or player that I've ever been around ever, if I see them, I'm going to go say hi to them. And he coached me for a year, and he wouldn't come say hi. And every time we would see him in his room, you know, his office, he's always squirrely looking, and he's hiding stuff, and he was always really squirrely. So where I'm going with this is by now probably people have probably seen the video because it's freaking hilarious. Chris Forster, who was the offensive line coach for the Dolphins, and from what I hear, he's the highest paid offensive line coach in the NFL. From what I hear, don't know how, he must have pictures of somebody. But this mental genius thought it was a good idea to send a video of him snorting lines of cocaine as he proclaims his love to a black stripper. And I'm just saying a black stripper because it makes the story so much better. And by the way, I believe he's married, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. But even if he's not married, that can't fly. Like, I don't know why the Dolphins didn't fire him immediately. Immediately. So I don't know if he's married. He's probably not anymore. If he was married, and how dumb do you have to be to send a video like that to a stripper? Seriously. First of all, you're proclaiming your love to a stripper, which we won't get into that. That's a long story. That's a long show. We won't go into that. If you want to do it, go ahead. I'm just going to let you know it's going to turn out poorly. That's all. It's going to be bad. So he's doing lines of coke before he heads to a meeting. And that's he's saying it in the video. I'm doing these lines of coke thinking of you before I go to my meeting. He couldn't go in front of players anymore. He could no longer ever coach in the NFL. And I always say there's always a way. This one, no way. Not a chance. People thought the defensive coordinator for the Saints, and I can't think of his name right now, but I think he ended up going to the Rams. The guy was in the Spygate stuff and all that kind of stuff. People thought that he would never get back in football. He's back in football. If you can coach, you're going to be out there. This is never, ever going to go away. He's done coaching. He might need to go to a different country because that was degrading, and I don't know how he looks anybody in the face again. And I would say this to Chris Forster. Karma is a bitch, okay? For all the people you screwed along the way, karma is a bitch, and it came back and kicked him right in his ass, okay? So I remember when Chris Forster, he was actually offensive coordinator for the Dolphins 1 year, and I remember Miami Herald called me, and they go, hey, we've heard you talk about Chris Forster. Would you like to comment on him, you know, becoming the offensive coordinator? I said, I would love to. And my quote was, he'll be fired in 6 weeks. He's that bad. He has that little knowledge. And I'm not sure I wasn't on the nose. I think he got fired in 6 weeks. The 6 weeks he coached, they were like the worst, one of the worst offenses like in the history of the NFL. So I just don't know how he lasted that long in the NFL. I have no idea. He's gone now, I'm telling you. So Chris Forster, good riddance. You're done. You messed it up. You like cocaine and strippers too much because that's a bad combination. It really is. Now I just started dabbling. Actually, I swore off it for years, fantasy football, because I did it once before and I hated it. Okay, so I started it this year. Drew Garoppolo said, "Hey, come into my our league." So I said, "Sure, you gotta pay a little something. It's not much," and I got waxed the first 3 weeks, okay, because I didn't look at it. I didn't change my roster. I didn't even care. So the last couple weeks, I said to myself, okay, I paid a little money to get in this thing. Let me at least pay attention. So I paid attention, made a couple moves here and there. I've kicked some butt the last 2 weeks. And you know what? It's quite rewarding. I didn't know it was going to be so dang rewarding. But I'm peeking and looking, see who's this guy's getting some points and this and that. I benched Ben Roethlisberger yesterday. Genius. What is that all about? Ben Roethlisberger stunk. The Steelers stink. It's been a long time since the Steelers have stunk. When's the last time since the Steelers and, you know, the Patriots are down? And I'm not counting the Patriots out by any means. You know, they're not down and out by any means. But it's, the Steelers are bad. Ben Roethlisberger is bad. They can't stop anybody because they got whooped. Jacksonville can play. Hey, the Jets are 3-2. How the hell are the Jets 3-2 with Josh McCown as their quarterback? How does that happen? Seriously. Josh McCown is your quarterback right now in 2017? Josh McCown was old in 2005. It's 2017, and he's still kicking. And I watched a couple plays yesterday. There's not many more athletic quarterbacks than Josh McCown still in this league. Now, he's not going to make it through the whole season. It's a long season for an old son of a bitch like that to get through. But this season is crazy, man. I mean, just picking a winner of a game is hard. Forget about the point spread. Just saying who's going to win is hard these days. From 1 to 32, there's just not that much difference. There really isn't. Some teams are peaking. Kansas City can just play. Like the Dallas Cowboys, they keep on giving them away. Green Bay still has Aaron Rodgers, so they're going to be in every freaking game. You know, mechanically, arm-wise, there's probably not ever been a better thrower than Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best throwers I've ever seen. You got to put him in there with, you know, Elway and Marino as this pure passes. Unbelievable. And you know what? You know, looking around the league, I was watching Tyrod Taylor play yesterday. I was pretty impressed with the way he throws the ball. He's had a pretty darn good year. And the Bills are playing pretty good football. And he's gunned up. He was gunned up. I've never seen guns on a quarterback like that. Go ahead and look him up. Taylor, the quarterback for the Bills. I've never seen a quarterback with arms like that. So I think he's my new favorite quarterback because he's gunned up. Another crazy thing that happened yesterday is Vice President Pence rolls out to Indianapolis, okay? He knows he's going to go watch the Colts and the 49ers. And he also knows that the 49ers have the most players who protest the anthem. He knows this before he goes. And your boy Donald Trump told Pence, if anybody kneels for the anthem, I want you to leave. He literally told him that. So then don't go. You know it's going to happen. Don't go. What did it prove? I there's a lot of things I don't understand, okay? I don't understand the president and the vice president debating or really being on the side, which is against, I mean, the players are doing something that's lawful. They're allowed to do that. The other day I'm in Elmer's having a cocktail watching football on a Sunday, and there's a bunch of people there that are, you know, talking about how un-American the football players are to be kneeling. But then I thought to myself, well, the anthem is playing on a TV. Why isn't anybody standing? If you really think about it, sports is the only place where we really have to stand for the anthem. I mean, they don't really play it anywhere else, you think about it. So athletes are the only ones that get judged, the only ones. And then now the owners are coming out and saying you have to stand or you're not going to play. It's going to get bad, okay? It's going to get bad because it's been us against them for a long time, forever. And the president and Pence, they're just doing what they can to be divisive. I mean, that's what it is. And for people out there that take the sides of an NFL owner, what the hell do you and an NFL owner have in common? This is what I do know. Those NFL football players had to work their ass off to get to where they are, all right? The NFL owners, we don't know how they got all that damn money. We have no idea. Their daddy may have given them that money. And they're not the ones putting their lives on the line and all that kind of stuff. They're up in the booth with all the other billionaires, you know, eating Twinkies or whatever they eat in those, you know, fancy booths, sweets. And people are taking the side. You're taking the side of billionaire owners, and you're not taking the side of African-American athletes that have worked their ass off that are standing up for the injustice of their people, which is, we don't have to debate that. It is happening. It's not a debatable thing. So I don't get it anymore. I don't think I understand. And it's not getting any better. It really isn't. So I thought that Pence, whatever it was, I just thought it was disgusting. And it's, I mean, we all look like some little bitches out there. And everybody's acting like a little bitch. Another thing that drove me crazy yesterday was watching all the different football, not just yesterday, Saturday as well. There's so many bogus hits that are penalized. Like, through the 2 days, I must have had, there was a half a dozen roughing or, you know, unnecessary roughness hits that I just said, I don't know where they're trying to go with football anymore. But the referees are pretty much telling people, or players, that they're not allowed to hit hard. I saw somebody peel back. I was in a Jets game. He peels back and he lowers his shoulder into a guy's chest who was pursuing the running back and knocks the crap out of the dude and got a penalty. He didn't even hit him with his helmet, and he got a penalty for it. And it's changing games. In the Cowboys game, there was a terrible call. Somebody, the defender hit the helmet of the receiver with his bicep, and they got a flag in the end zone, unnecessary roughness. These are referees that are changing the game, the outcomes of the game, and ruining the game. They're doing that as well. It's hard to watch football. It is, because it's just not the same product it was back when. You can't hit anymore, and the violence is, they're trying to take the violent part out of the game. And I understand they're trying to cover their ass because of litigation, and they don't want to give up any more money for, not like they've given up any money for the concussions, but they don't want to give up the concussion money. But it's getting to a point now where it's not fun at times. And referees are deciding too many freaking games out there, way, way too many. Now, there was a couple unfortunate injuries yesterday. Odell Beckham, he's done probably for the season. Unfortunate. I think people heard a pop or a snap or a crack or whatever, but people heard something that wasn't natural, and he got carted off. You don't want to see that. Maybe he was crying a little too hard. I don't know much about the pain, but I having played the game, I'm not going to be crying like that coming off, not from pain. It was just a little dramatic for me anyways. I mean, I just can't picture myself crying on the cart. That's just not something that I would do. If you do it, Odell, whatever. That was a shame because, you know, as flamboyant as Odell Beckham is, the NFL's better with him. He's a great football player. And they might have lost J.J. Watt yesterday. And look, listen, I said before, when J.J. Watt was at his best, I think he was one of the best football players ever. I think it might be over, unfortunately, because you can't keep on getting hurt. You can't keep on missing entire seasons. And looking in J.J. Watt's eyes, it looked like he was almost ready to cry because, you know, he just went through a whole year of rehabbing a back. You know how hard that is. And the back problem is not gone. And now you got to mess around with a broken leg and, you know, it's a pain in the ass. He may end up coming back, okay, but it sure looked the way he was carried off. Like, I've seen people with broken legs actually walk off the field. It may be a while for him. Maybe might need a rod or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that, you know, NFL is better with both those football players, J.J. Watt and Odell Beckham, for two different reasons. They're both great football players. But, you know, you need, you know, characters like that. J.J. Watt, unfortunately, was on the way to a Hall of Fame career. It's not going to happen now. It's just not going to happen. He wasn't good. He wasn't good long enough. He's probably good for 5 years. It's not long enough. You know, in order to make it to the, you know, Hall of Fame, you got to put your statistics up against all the great ones. And none of them short years, that's prerequisite of the Hall of Fame, is longevity, okay? That's why I'm surprised Terrell Davis got in. I didn't think Terrell Davis had a big enough body of work to make to the Hall of Fame. Now, I was wrong. I'm okay with him getting put in there, but I didn't think he had it. Now, we lost Dalvin Cook last week. He was looking awesome. Listen, he was a guy who was hurt in college, okay? So, you know, it's a tough situation. So next year, are you going to be able to depend on Dalvin Cook to be your running back? I mean, that's what's tough. It's tough. Odell Beckham is a free agent. That's a tough situation because free agency, you know, is going to start up. And if he's not completely better, I don't know. The Giants, they let him become a free agent. You don't want to put Odell Beckham out there on the market like that. Somebody's going to gobble him up. So the Giants are in a situation where they might have to franchise tag him. I don't know what. And can you imagine franchise tagging Odell Beckham? I don't think that's going to turn out well. I just don't. Because he's not one to, you know, hold his lip. He's going to come out and say what's on his mind. So, I mean, I hope those guys come back. Like I said, the NFL's better with them. Now, there's a couple of people that I said early in the season that I don't know if they're going to make it. McCaffrey is one of them. Played okay for what they're doing with him. Not really a running back, not really a receiver, just doing a little bit of everything. We'll see if his body holds up because he's a little bitty guy. And the other one was another different body, but Fournette, you know, I don't know if he's going to last, okay, because he's a big bruising dude. I think he had an 80-yard run yesterday, maybe longer, I'm not sure. But it was, you know, we're talking about a guy who looks 250. When he broke out of there, there wasn't nobody catching this dude. He had a gear I definitely didn't think Fournette had. So he's impressive so far, but, you know, you got to keep an eye on these guys because it's a long, long football season. You know, by week 12, a lot of these running backs are going to be looking around thinking, why am I still playing football? And that's when it gets tough. And it's good to see that Melvin Gordon now is playing good football because I thought he was a fantastic college football player, and then I thought he was going to do big things in the league. And the first couple of years, he didn't really do a whole lot. And now he's looking a lot better as a football player. You know, unfortunately for him, Phillip Rivers might be on his last leg. Phillip Rivers, you go back and look at Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has had, we'll say, a borderline Hall of Fame career. I don't think he's done enough, but he's somebody you definitely gonna have to mention. That's for sure. Now, watching all these different games, and the Browns lost in the last little while in the game, and they came up with a statistic in the last 32 games. The Rams are 2-30. Not the Rams. The Browns are 2-30. Yeesh. Yeah. Hey, Brown fans, I'm sorry. That's tough. I mean, that's going back to way, way, way back. Creamsicle 76 time, where that's not good football. And the Browns seem like they're in every game. They're in every game, and they figure out a way to lose every single time. And it's definitely unfortunate. And Brown fans, you just don't really hear him anymore. You know, they don't even make a whimper anymore. It just doesn't happen. Now, this weekend, I got a bunch of stuff going on. I hope you guys are going to come join. On Saturday, I'll be at the Oak and Stone in Sarasota. They're having an Oktoberfest. There's a bunch of beers. There's great food. They have a band, the Supervillains, a local band that's excellent. I can't wait to hear them. I heard it's kind of reggae and ska. But Saturday, we'll be doing the Flavor Show with myself and Ray Lampe from 1 to 3. And I'll be DJing from 3 to 4, playing some old school stuff. And then they're going to have a little party out there, and they're going to have a bunch of beer, and they can hang out and have a good time over there. They're going to have it outside, and they're definitely going to make it a party. And then on Sunday, Dignitary is going to be doing my show on 102.5 The Bone from 11 to 1, and then we're going to have a pool party again at Hotel Zamora, and that's on St. Petersburg Beach. The last time we had a pool party, it was a hootenanny. It was a whole lot of lovely people. Everybody had a wonderful time. And you can check me on social media at Ian Beckles. I will be putting up some pictures of the last party because they're definitely worth checking out. So Saturday, Oak and Stone, and Sunday, Zamora, if you want to come hang out this weekend. The Buccaneers play in Arizona this weekend. Must win, yo. Can't go 2-4. Can't do it. Go 2-4, you go home for the playoffs. That's the way it goes. And if we think that we're going to be a competitive team throughout the season, it's a game you got to win. And unfortunately, that Thursday game was, I don't think anybody predicted them to win, but then it's all over. You're like, man, we really wasted that one, really, seriously, because they were right there for the picking. I'm not sure New England's all right yet. They still got a whole lot of gaps out there. And I'm not quite sure where we are as Buccaneer fans either. So we're definitely going to find out this Sunday when they head to Arizona, because if they lay an egg there, it's uphill. And that's not the way to do it. So let's hope for the best, and let's wait for Sunday. And I'm ready for a win, because I'm not ready to pull the plug on this Buccaneer season yet. I appreciate you guys listening, and hopefully you guys tell your people to listen in the trenches, any Buccaneer fans. The numbers are going up, which is wonderful. And if any of you guys want to contact me, check me out, Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com, if you have any questions. Or you can check me out on my social media at Ian Beckles, and I do just about all of it. So everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com. And remember, the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.